Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Tuesday to you. My name is Jim Rome, broadcasting live from the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. Busy Tuesday, a podcast Tuesday, and breaking news in the NFL, which I'll get to in just one moment. But let me set the show up for you first. Your phone number is toll-free. We've got an open segment coming up next. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Again, toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Call me right now. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You probably know that by now. You can email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. You know that by now. First segment is me. Next segment is you. Third segment, Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Tomorrow is the first official day that free agents can officially sign and do so legally. Lots to cover with him, and there is breaking news, which I'll get to in just one moment. Second hour is wide open. In hour number three, we talk NCAA tournament basketball. Lavelle Moten, the head coach at NC Central, joins me in the top of the third hour. Also in hour number three, Texas Tech head basketball coach Chris Beard. That's how it sets up. Call now, 1-800-636-8686. I mentioned breaking news. Adam Schefter from ESPN reports in a tweet, Kirk Cousins plans to sign a three-year, fully guaranteed contract from the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday. Sources tell ESPN, quote, end of quote. All right, so not hugely surprising. And when you get right down to it, the Saints also re-signed Drew Brees. But the biggest winner of the Saints re-signing Drew Brees is not Drew Brees. It's not even the Saints. Just as the biggest winner of the Broncos agreeing to a deal with Case Keenum is not Case Keenum or the Broncos. And I want to get to both those deals a little bit later on. The biggest winner, of course, in all of this is Kirk Cousins. Because the Vikings were running out of options. They were not going to bag Drew Brees, although they did lob a telephone call to his agent. They're not keeping Case Keenum. He goes to Denver. I mean, I guess theoretically, the Vikings could have stayed with Sam Bradford. But Mike Zimmer was talking recently about Sam Bradford's health. And when you talk about Sam Bradford's health, that is never a good thing. Theoretically, they could also stick with Teddy Bridgewater, but Teddy Bridgewater really has not played the last 2 years. So if you've got a Super Bowl team, it's pretty tough to trust the most important position to a pair of guys who might have two good knees between them. I mean, where else were you going to go? AJ McCarron's out there. But again, if you're a team that went to the NFC Championship game, are you really going to toss the keys of the McLaren to AJ McCarron? I mean, don't get me wrong. He might be good. He just hasn't played very much. Which brings us back to the obvious Kirk Cousins. I mean, I don't want to say, and again, it's not official yet. It's not done yet. It can't be until tomorrow. I don't want to say that if the Vikings didn't get or don't get Kirk Cousins, it might be a total bust. But if the Vikings don't get Kirk Cousins, it's probably a total bust. And no, I wouldn't read anything into the fact that his farewell to that DC blog post tagged the Jets and the Vikings and nobody else. I mean, this guy's smart enough to know exactly what that sort of thing represents, what people are going to say when they see that. He knows that he's setting everybody up for the inevitable, quote, I guess you could say that Kirk Cousins is doing the tagging this time, joke. You know, but go ahead and leave aside that blog post tags. Now that Keenum is in Denver and Brees is staying in New Orleans, I mean, it pretty much did come down to a two-horse race between the Jets and the Vikings. Maybe the Cardinals were on the outside lurking. So again, the report is he's going to sign with Minnesota. It's not official yet, but it may as well be. Because the Vikings, the Jets might be able to give him more money. And if that's the case, then the Vikings need to do what apparently they are going to do. And that's guarantee a ton of dough. If that means you have to guarantee him to get him to sign there, that's exactly what you do. And according to reports, that's exactly what it is. And according to Jim Rome, that's something that he should be interested in. In fact, guaranteed money, the kind of guaranteed money he's going to get, guaranteed money, every NFL player should be interested in getting it, except very few have the leverage or the hammer to do so. But if you can get it, you should get it. And if you can get guaranteed money and a chance to win a ring with the Vikings and your Kirk Cousins, then you do that. Yeah, it looks like you will. Once again, not my money. Not my money, so it's easy for me to say the Vikings can afford to do it. But what I'm really saying is they can't afford not to do that. The Vikings have to get this deal done. It's set up perfectly for them. A killer defense, a loaded offense, a great head coach, a really good vibe in that locker room. They just need a guy under center. They need Kirk Cousins. Bottom line, it's not official. It may soon be, and it does not guarantee a Super Bowl, but not signing him might very well guarantee that you don't get to a Super Bowl. So if it's a two-horse race between the Vikings and the Jets, it's really a one-horse race. Because if it is a two-horse race between the Vikings and the Jets, the Vikings cannot lose a two-horse race to the Jets. Not when there's a ring on the line. You simply can't. So if I'm the Vikings, I do exactly what it looks like they're going to do. I guarantee him that $30 million per. Hell, I got to be honest. If I were the Vikings, I would have taken that $30 million per that it's going to take to get Kirk Cousins and try to offer it to Drew Brees first. As high as I am on Kirk Cousins, he's still not Drew Brees, not even at 39. But Brees is not available. Case Keenum has already bounced. They've got no choice but to lock Keenum in or to lock Cousins in, and it looks like they're going to do just that. And again, if it takes guaranteed money to get this guy, guarantee him the money. And apparently they will, according to ESPN. Your thoughts on that? 1-800-636-8686. So all those dominoes started to fall when Keenum signed with Denver. And then Drew Brees stays New Orleans. There was no way that guy was going to go. And now it looks like Kirk Cousins will be in Minnesota. Lots going on. And again, keep in mind, it's not official. None of this is official. Yesterday was the start of NFL free agency. Except nobody can actually sign anything really until 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So yesterday was like kind of a legal tampering. It feels illegal, but it was legal tampering. And then tomorrow it's official. 1-800-636-8686. So I want to hit on all these things individually. Cousins to Minnesota, reportedly. Case Keenum to Denver, reportedly. Drew Brees staying in New Orleans, reportedly. Another big quarterback story of the day. In fact, all this legal tampering really has overshadowed what probably was the biggest NFL news of the day. Tom Brady slamming a beer on national TV. I know. I'm as shocked as you are. That's a sentence I never thought that I would say, but it happened on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. This guy slammed a brew, pounded a beer, shotgunned a beer. And even funnier that he was there to promote and represent the TB12 brand, the TB12 lifestyle. Slamming beers is pretty counterintuitive to that. But my man got nice with it. The thing about Tom Brady is, I don't know who talked him into it. I don't know who talked him into doing that on national TV, but whoever it was ought to get a raise. That was the best thing that guy could have ever done. I've never seen anything to humanize that guy or make that guy look cooler than that did last night. So I've got that story for you too. Also, according or with relation to the Patriots, more good news. It's been kind of a weird offseason for them. Weird in that you've got the hood showing up on his Gram account with beach vacay pictures. You've got 76-year-old Bob Kraft buying diapers for a kid that he says is not his. You've got Brady on national TV slamming beers. And now you've got Gronk in TB12's facility getting his work in. It's good news. Very good news. A couple of weeks back, we weren't even sure whether or not Gronk wants to play. And we're still not sure that he does want to play. But the fact that he's at the TB12 Sports Therapy Center at Gillette is very good news, potentially, for the Patriots. I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, not official, but it looks like they might have Sammy Watkins coming in. So they're all in with Pat Mahomes. If they get Watkins, and Watkins has never lived up to the player that he was supposed to be when he was drafted fourth overall, but if they get this guy and he's right, and they can take advantage of what he has to offer, and he finally lives up to it, look out. Look the hell out for that offense. So a ton of NFL to talk about, even though it's all alleged and reported and not official yet. Going to Twitter. The Miano Pan starting us off on a Tuesday. Never a good idea. The Miano Pan tweets, don't you mean Kurt Cousins? Signed, that bag Redskins exec.
After discussions with Kurt this weekend face to face, Kurt is obviously an important part of our organization, and it's important to our team and fans to know where we stand. Our goal was to sign Kirk to a long-term contract. We made Kirk an offer, the highest fully guaranteed amount upon signing for a quarterback in NFL history. But despite our repeated attempts, we have not received any offer from Kurt's agent this year. Kurt has made it clear that he prefers to play on a year-to-year basis. We respect and accept Kurt's decision.
How is that even possible? Quote, that bag Redskins exec. You mean Bruce Allen? He curted him like five times. No wonder the guy left. And before you tell me that's not a reason to leave, yes, it is. Yes, it is. He curted him five times. And my two cents worth tweets. The Vikings need a defense that shows up in the playoffs more than they need Kirk Cousins. All right, straight take. What do you think about that? Was quarterback not the issue? Was their defense the issue? Their defense was not an issue during the regular season. It's set up perfectly. Like I said, you've got the right defense. You've got the right head coach. He's got weapons that he did not have in D.C., and you've got the right quarterback. At House Punter tweets, hey, Jim, did your crew get together over mojitos and decide it was Plaid Tuesday? Let's find out. Can we get a shot? And by the way, we are back on TV today. We were off yesterday. We're back on CBS Sports Network. If you're watching, there is the shot of the control room. There's Alvy, Plaid. There's Hawk, Plaid. Austin, Plaid. Keith, Plaid. Yeah, right? Way to be paying attention, Chris, in my two cents worth. It is Plaid Tuesday. Actually, my bad. The punter, the house punter, made the observation. All right, so the breaking news this morning from ESPN, Kirk Cousins plans to sign a three-year fully guaranteed contract. And the key right there, fully guaranteed contract. If you've got the hammer, swing it. If you've got the leverage, go get it. And that might change the way business is done in the NFL. Not for everybody, but for guys who can get it. And clearly, this guy can get it. He bet on himself twice. He went year to year. And now he's going to get guaranteed money. And for him, a three-year deal means he may have a shot to hit the open market again in his early 30s. This guy worked the system perfectly and ends up in a great situation to chase a ring as well. He probably couldn't even care less that the Redskins continue to crack him on the way out the door. Better situation, more money, better receivers, better defense, better head coach. This guy worked it perfectly. All right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, we'll get into all these NFL stories. And I'm looking for your telephone calls. Open segment next. Jason Lock and Fora coming up at 40 past. When you want something at the best price available, what do?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Why do you conspiracy theorists want to wreck a good thing? I mean, was that not fun last night? I'm talking about Tom Brady. And you've all got your tinfoil hats on, looking for the conspiracy. Let me first lay out what happened, and then we can talk about what you think did or did not happen. So you've got all this legal tampering, and it really did overshadow all this quarterback movement. The dominoes start to fall, whatever whack cliche you want to use. Music stops. You got to find a chair to sit down in, whatever you want to do. All of that is overshadowing the real quarterback story of the day, and that's Tom Brady chugging a beer on national TV last night. I mean, really, Tom Brady sitting down for a national interview is the story of the night. But he's out and about now. You know, the guy who you can never, ever get any access to is out and about because he's promoting his brand. He's pushing his brand. So last night, he's on national TV, and I know, I'm as shocked as you are. That's a sentence that I thought that I would never say on this show ever. Tom Brady slammed a beer, allegedly, theorists, on national TV. But that's exactly what happened last night on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. First off, if you have not seen it, let me set the scene for you. You've got Brady, and Brady right now is rocking the tightest of tight lettuce after getting his hair cut for an awesome cause, the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And he shows up in all black, looking like he's some kind of assassin sent from the future to do a late-night TV interview and maybe kill a few robots. But instead of killing a cyborg, my man annihilates a beer.
I'd say cheeseburger, pizza, beer, things like that.
You don't drink beer?
Rarely. Damn. I was pretty good beer chugger back in the day.
You were a good beer chugger?
Yeah.
Do you want to chug a beer? I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay. Do you want to do this? Again, this is for
are we
the kids.
Competing or are we chugging?
I don't know if you're a competitive guy.
Let's try.
Okay, let's try.
Yeah.
Somebody time it. Okay, how do we start this? Okay, so we just click and go? All right, okay.
Can we spill?
We can spill.
All right. Ready? I left a little. That was good.
That was
really good.
It was good. It was good, but a lot of you were trying to wreck it. So not only does this guy get the win, but he goes back for the foam to make sure that he gets the win. He gets the W. Now, after seeing that, you might give Colbert, let's talk about this angle for a minute. You might just give Colbert another Emmy, another Peabody, a Pulitzer, a Nobel Peace Prize, because that is one of the most amazing things I've seen. This guy's so good at his job, he made Brady look comfortable. Colbert is so good at his job, he made Brady look normal. Because Brady in those situations is neither. Very different cat now. Very different. Very different, but in that moment, he seemed like a normal bro. Just slamming a pop like the rest of us, only better and faster. Well, maybe not a normal bro, having a pop. An NFL legend slamming a beer. But it almost seemed normal. And yes, he was there to plug the TB12 brand. And chugging that beer is completely counterintuitive to the TB12 lifestyle and message. But I'm telling you, whoever got that guy to do that deserves a huge raise because that is the coolest, most humanizing thing this guy's done in a very long time. And the fact is, now that we've gone behind the curtain, now that we've seen more of Brady, we've watched that Facebook show, we've seen the interviews, come to find out, Tom Brady, after all, maybe he's not the coolest dude ever. But that's probably the coolest thing he's done since, well, pretty much ever. And after watching that Facebook show and seeing some of that media, I'm not sure anybody would accuse this guy of being Mr. Cool. So big ups to whoever convinced him to do this thing. Now, after watching that, I want to go out on a limb and say something else. Before you conspiracy theorists wreck the whole thing by saying it wasn't even beer, I want to say something else. Something else I thought that I would never, ever say. Brady would crush Gronk in a beer-chugging contest. He would absolutely wipe the floor with that guy. And why do I say that? Three simple words that he said to Colbert before they even started. Quote, are we competing?
Are we competing or are we chugging?
I don't know if you're...
That was your tip-off that Brady was about to go off. Guy leans back, opens up his trachea, and dumps it down. Thanks for coming. I mean, I see that, and I'm convinced that not only is Gronk not going to beat him, the ultimate bro, Gronk, Joseph Chestnut is not going to beat Brady. Nobody is beating Brady at that. The guy's too competitive, he's got the game, and he's got fire. Keg stands, Brady is your guy. If they gave out Super Bowl rings for beer pong, Tom Brady would be the Tom Brady of beer pong. Hell, I never thought that anybody would ever be able to run down the Mississippi Queen.
My favorite thing about the Grove, hands down, is the alcohol. It's not always free, but it's always there. So, yeah, alcohol, hands down. Answer your question. Next question.
Okay, but you can get that at the Square, right?
Never thought anybody would run down the Queen, the Mississippi Queen, but he would be secretariat at the Belmont in a race against her. And again, for your conspiracy theorists, if you want any further evidence, check this story that Brian Hoyer told ESPN from back in the day. After a game in Buffalo, the weather was so bad that the Patriots couldn't fly back to Boston, so they stayed in Rochester. They had an impromptu team dinner at a barbecue joint. According to Hoyer, quote, it turns into a beer-chugging contest. You have linemen, Julian Edelman. They all think they're going to win. Then somebody says, I heard Tom is really great at chugging a beer. We usually don't get to experience him like this, but we finally coax him into doing it. He does it, and let me tell you, you couldn't have poured out that beer faster into a glass. It was unbelievable. And he slams the mug on the table, puts both fists in the air. He walks away with a look on his face that said, you really thought you were going to beat me on this? End quote. That's why I buy it. I mean, that sums up Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. You really thought you were going to beat me on this? Different cat. Different cat, but a competitive cat. And if it's a competition, he's going to find a way to win. And you can insert all your bad jokes in there about the Super Bowl. But if it's a competition, he's going to find a way to win. You know, people can do that. I personally don't have that skill set. I'm not that guy that can open up my trachea and just dump it down. But you see people who can do that. So are you buying it? I am. I think you're working awfully hard if you think that they replaced the beer with something else. I mean, I'd love to be that guy. I wish I could. Didn't you try that in college? I used to watch people beer bong in college. Like, hey, that looks pretty cool, man. That's a pretty quick and easy way to get what you want. To get where you need to be, right? In about 2 seconds flat. I tried it once, a beer bong. I nearly drowned. Did not go well. Did not have that skill set. Clearly, Brady can do it. Are you buying it or not? Certainly, the Late Show Twitter account implied that that was beer. But knowing you clones and other conspiracy theorists and beer scholars, in fact, I want to hear from Micro Beer Guy. Is it possible? People have got screenshots. They're comparing the color of the beer, the two glasses, the fact that Colbert may have switched the glasses out. Or is it what they made it seem to be? Couple of dudes on set, on TV, slamming a couple of beers. I'm going to go with it. I buy it. I believe it. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Mike in Pennsylvania. It's good to have you, Mike. How are you? What's up? Where do you come out on that?
All right, but hey, Jim, that's apple juice. Man drinks organic goat milk. He's not going to drink a beer, especially on national TV. And if you ever pour apple juice straight into a glass, it creates a foam on the top. And if you notice, Colbert switched the one that had the little foam. That was Brady's. That's apple juice.
Okay,
he had no
Mike.
Foam on it.
You got it, Mike. Thank you. There's a vote for apple juice. Like I said, obviously some of you are watching that very closely. He started his argument by saying the guy would never drink a beer like that on TV. He drinks organic goat milk. Like I said, it is counterintuitive to what he was there to do. He was there to promote the TB12 lifestyle, the TB12 brand. I agree. It's twisted. It's counterintuitive. However, if that is your argument, if the argument is the guy would never do it, the guy's way too healthy, it's apple juice. I got news for you. Beer is a hell of a lot more healthy for you than apple juice. Let's break this thing down. Whole Foods organic apple juice has 24 grams of sugar, 30 grams of carbs, 120 calories. That's what you get in a glass of apple juice, organic apple juice. Say the guy went with a domestic light lager. Compare that. 24 grams of sugar to 0 grams of sugar, 30 grams of carbs to 3.2 grams of carbs, 120 calories to 96 calories. You tell me which of those two beverages would be more TB12. So that argument that the guy would never do it, it's apple juice because of who he is and the way he takes care of himself and what he puts into his body, that beer is probably better for him than the apple juice. Why is that so hard to believe? I mean, maybe he's just a normal bro. Well, as normal a bro as that guy could be. But if you've got teammates saying that he can do this, I don't know why that's so hard to believe. Do you believe it or not? I want to hear from Beer Guy. Is it possible? Would he do it? The other conspiracy theory is Colbert may have had the juice and Brady had the beer. Colbert had to host the show, so why would he slam beer? I don't know, because we host shows. It'd be fun to do. That's something you would remember. If you're the host, even if you're that guy on that show, getting to slam a beer with Brady would be cool. Like when I had the habanero pepper. Thanks for that, Hawk. Thanks for the habanero, by the way. Something different. It was fun. All right, when we come back, Jason Lockenfora joins us. Busy day in the NFL. Not official yet. Let's just call it legal tampering. But we'll get the very latest from JLC. That's coming up next. Take any topic you want. Pick up the phone. Hit me up right now because we'll take telephone calls after that. Time now for a sports update. Here's the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Bottom of hour number one, I am Jim Rome. How would you like to be Tom Brady? Brady finally does something cool. Finally does something to humanize him. Finally, and everybody still thinks he cheats. Let me tell you something. This guy could crack open a beer, pour it into a glass, slam it right there for everybody to see, and there is still a large percentage of you who would say that he was cheating, even if you saw him dump that beer out of a can into a glass. All right, joining us right now to break that down and other important things, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is the host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network simulcast. Jason Lockenfora is my guest. JLC, good morning. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well after that introduction. How could I not be?
My man. So, Jason, you've been known to slam a beer or two in your day.
Yes, sir.
You would know as well as anybody, especially as dialed in as you are to the NFL. Do you think this guy crushed that beer, or are you going to call bull on it and say that it was apple juice or something else?
I'm giving Tom Brady the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you know, 40 is old in football years, but, you know, 40 in beer slamming years is I wouldn't call it over the hill. I mean, I know there's a conspiracy theory for everything these days, and people, you know, love to hate Tom Brady, but I think you just got to give the man his due. Clearly, he applied himself in multiple ways at the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor.
Exactly right. I mean, doesn't it go to say how little people trust this guy or how quick people want to hate on this guy to not even give him credit for that? To turn that thing inside out the way he did? All right, so you and I are on the same page there. I think the guy did it. Jason Lockenfora, my guest. Let's talk about last night. You tweeted last night that people around the league were surprised by how slowly things were yesterday during the first few hours of the legal tampering period, but you'd be shocked if it hadn't totally changed within the next 24 hours, and that's exactly what happened. So what did change?
Well, just a little more time. You know, people starting to ruminate on things for sort of the close of business Monday, and then a few things ramping up late at night with some of the top of the market guys, where you've kind of gone through the motions and the player has been given some things to mull, and he goes back to the agent and says, hey man, if that's what you know you think's on the table, let's just go ahead and do a verbal with that. You know, I'd like to do that. Let's get that security. I'd like to be able to tell my wife you know, tomorrow morning where we're going rather than, you know, wait till Wednesday if we really don't think the market's going to change much by the time it, quote-unquote, officially opens on Wednesday. So I think a lot of people thought Monday afternoon might be a little more gangbusters than it was, but we're making up for it today, Jim, and by 4 p.m. our time, 1 p.m. your time tomorrow afternoon, I dare say there's not going to be a heck of a lot of intrigue still out there. I mean, there'll obviously still be guys on the market, but for a free agent class this week, with so few really dynamic names attached to it, there's going to be slim pickings.
Jason Lockenfora joins us. All right, you made the point that once Jacksonville agreed to a deal with Blake Bortles, there were not that many landing spots that made sense for Drew Brees. Lay that out for me, and what do you make of the deal that he ultimately did agree to?
You know, I won't call it necessarily team-friendly. It's still $50 million over 2 years for, you know, a quarterback approaching age 40, but it, you know, a lot of people thought he might hold out for $60 million for two, $30 a year, and I think ideally that's probably where they would have been. But he gets to the non-tampering period or whatever they call it on Monday, and he's free to talk to other teams. And like, I mean, could you go to Arizona? I guess Steve Wilks is a rookie head coach. You know, last year with Larry Fitzgerald, the team kind of in transition. You know, a lot of people believe they'll end up cutting Honey Badger. You know, I don't know. Does that make sense for Drew Brees at age 40? Like, okay, the Jets lose out on Cousins. I mean, do you want to go to the Jets? I mean, are they going to win a Super Bowl in the next 18 months? And, you know, does that really make sense with where they are as a franchise right now? You know, Denver already did their thing with Keenum. It looks like Minnesota's going to get Cousins. But to me, Minnesota was really the only spot where maybe Brees would make sense, but they'd rather do something with Cousins, you know, who's younger and has a little more upside, and no one really thought Brees was leaving New Orleans anyway. So, you know, had that thing played out to Wednesday night or Thursday, and again, no one thought it was going to. But if it did, you know, he may have been looking at Buffalo or Arizona, and again, for where those teams are, it doesn't make sense. Both those teams are going to be drafting quarterbacks in the first round.
Jason Lockenfora joins us to break it all down. All right, so what about Kirk Cousins? He's got a visit set up with the Vikings tomorrow. At this point, how would you handicap the Kirk Cousins stakes? I mean, are we pretty much down to a one-horse race?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe one in a, you know, one thoroughbred, and then I don't know what you're the horse guy. What are like the little miniature horses?
A goat, one thoroughbred, yeah. And one goat.
Yeah, and I would. You can figure out which one of those the Jets would be. I won't say that they're completely exterminated because money often talks and money sometimes screams. And, you know, could they do something completely over the top dramatic that causes Kirk Cousins to leave Minnesota on Thursday without a press conference and without, you know, signing a new contract? It's unlikely, but we've seen a coach bail on a team when they thought, you know, they had a deal. And we've seen a lot of crazy things happen in this league. Over the years, we've seen contracts get ripped up. We've seen the league overturn contracts, and that's not going to happen in this case, I don't believe. But, you know, until it's completely signed, sealed, and delivered, I would still leave out a sliver of hope for the Jets. But, you know, Minnesota's the better team. Minnesota's going to put substantial money on the table, and the Jets would have to get really creative to make Cousins have second thoughts.
Just go back to Drew Brees for a minute. I mean, you made the point that Minnesota looks like they've made their choice, that they'd rather go with a younger Kirk Cousins than Drew Brees, who's 39. Could you make any argument that Minnesota should take that same $30 million and offer it to Drew Brees? And if it was $30 million and not the 25 or so that Brees is going to get in New Orleans, do you think that Brees would leave for 2 years and Minnesota and more money if, in fact, it was offered?
Yeah, it's an interesting hypothetical. I mean, similar teams, both young, both have been built through the draft. It would have been interesting because Brees, you know, most of the time has kind of put the squeeze to them and gotten every penny he could get. I'm not sure he would leave under those circumstances, given what he means to that community and what that community means to him. If we're only talking a million or 2 million on a $50 million contract, if somebody blew him out of the water, it's a different scenario. But again, I don't know that that team exist the way this, you know, when you just start going through the teams and as they're presently constructed and you look at their quarterback rooms and the money devoted to quarterbacks and who's drafting a quarterback, I just don't think it would have been an overly robust market for Drew Brees. And part of that, again, is that people never thought he'd hit the market anyway because the Saints didn't want to deal with that $18 million rollover of salary cap money that even if they brought Brees back on Thursday would have still counted against their cap and made it prohibitive to do anything else in free agency.
All right, so what about Denver? They end up with Case Keenum. How do you like that fit of Keenum in Denver?
You know, it makes sense. Denver all along was looking at Keenum and Tyrod Taylor as the guys that they didn't get Cousins, and I reported weeks ago they kind of knew internally they weren't really going to get Cousins. They weren't going to be able to compete with the Vikings roster. They weren't going to be able to compete with the Jets' cap and cash availability. So they were already moving on to plans B and C at the combine. And those are two athletic quarterbacks, guys who can boot, guys who can waggle, do things outside the pocket, guys who Gary Kubiak, who remains Elway's right-hand man, was high on. And let's face it, that's the offense they really want to run. So I thought they'd end up with one of those two guys. They weren't willing to trade as much as the Browns were for Tyrod Taylor, understandably so. The Broncos don't have the plethora of picks that the Browns do, and they need to hold on to the young potential assets that they have. So Keenum, if it turns out to be, you know, $18 million a year, and until you really read the contract and see the fine print, it's impossible to say exactly where the real money is and the funny money is in some of these numbers that get thrown around. But I get it. I mean, I get it. Look, if I was Minnesota, I would have just transitioned him. I would have transitioned Keenum and done that for a year. I understand why they're doing what they're doing with Cousins. But, yeah, the franchise tag is $21 million. This guy played at a very high level last year, and you're getting him, you know, $3 or $4 million a year under the franchise tag. It's probably really only a one-year commitment when you suss it all out. I like it for Denver. I don't think it's going to transform their team. I don't think it's going to stop them from drafting a quarterback in the next couple years. And I don't think it's going to stop them from being a rebuilding team, which is where I think they're headed. But I'd rather do that for Keenum than do, you know, $19 million for 1 year of Mike Glennon or $36 million for 2 years of Brock Osweiler.
You know, it's funny you say that because John Elway would tell you, we don't rebuild. In fact, he said just that to ESPN the other day. We do not rebuild. I'm not going to rebuild. Ultimately, is he going to have to rebuild?
Well, I mean, if a year from now, guys like Chris Harris and Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders join Aqib Talib on the we traded him for a fifth-round pick list, then you're rebuilding. And if you don't draft the way you did 5 or 6 years ago when Brian Sanders was running the draft, but you draft more the way you have the last 3 or 4 years, then you're not going to get better real quick. You're going to have to tear some things down to eventually, find another team that's ready to compete for the playoffs and ultimately a Super Bowl on a regular basis. To me, the Broncos and the Giants are two teams that might be fooling themselves a little bit in terms of where they really are as a organization at the macro level. But we'll see. Maybe they are able to retool on the fly.
We have a couple of more moments with Jason Lockenfora. Now, JLC, what do you make of the deal that Sammy Watkins has reportedly agreed to at Kansas City? That's another nice weapon, obviously, for Patrick Mahomes. But do you think that Watkins is ever going to live up to all that hype that he had when Buffalo drafted him where they did?
No, I think this is a case of if Sammy Watkins was drafted 15 or 20 spots lower, he gets considerably less of the benefit of the doubt, and he's people would look more at his, not his college film, or not film when he flashes from time to time, but watch him on a regular basis and see how limited he's been by injury and how he hasn't performed like a number one. And I think that there'd probably be more lukewarm on him. But the fact that there's so few skill guys available on this market, and where he was drafted where he was drafted, and a team just traded a 2 for him, 7 months ago, and that tends to get you inflated. Now, again, Jim, I'll caution, let's wait till we see the real numbers on this contract. I mean, let's see what it really – is it really a one-year $16 million flyer, which, again, is too rich for my blood by far for him? But, let's see what the real commitment is that the Chiefs have actually made. I can understand them thinking with all the weapons they have around them that maybe this guy will help them be transcendent there. But I'm a Sammy Watkins skeptic.
Hmm. I got to get your thoughts before you go, Jason, about the Rams. I mean, what an amazing offseason they've had. You and I have spoken about Sean McVay a number of times over the past few months, going back to training camp. But what do you make of the moves they've made, bringing in Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib in particular? And what's that say about the confidence that that organization has in McVay to run that locker room?
Yeah, I mean, from a fiscal standpoint, you're talking about no-brainers here. I mean, to get those guys at that price, you can understand why they would do it and all that. But the reality is this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum. And it's not a case of fantasy football. There's real personalities. There's guys who are – sorry, my dog is
– Jesse, what kind of dog you have?
A repair person got here. Copper! Oh, my goodness. I was trying to let him –
I love this dude.
We got a full-blown episode here, Jesse.
Wait, what kind of dog is that?
Good thing this one's not on camera.
What kind of dog is this?
I'm dog wrestling. Look, these are real guys with real personalities. And
that's a real dog.
How is this going to play out in the locker room? Who's going to be the lead dog? How do they handle all that stuff? I'll be watching closely, and I'll be incredibly intrigued to see how this plays out because, these are guys who are playing for contracts, who have difficult personalities, and there's not that many people in that defensive backs room, so we'll see how it goes.
This guy is a pro, an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Of course, he appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS and host of the Be More Opinionated podcast, my man Jason Lockenfora. Jason, thank you so much. Great to have you back.
Hey, my pleasure. Sorry about the dog rampage.
Oh, man.
There.
Loved it. Best part of my morning so far. JLC. All right, we're coming back. Hour number 2 straight ahead. Your reaction to any of that. He also is not buying the conspiracy theory on Tom Brady. Again, do you trust that guy that little? Do you hate on that guy that much? You can't even give him that kind of credit for drinking a beer on live TV. Hour number 2, wide open. Don't go anywhere.